Absolutely. We are putting our top staff on this, but it is absolutely not going to silence us. And in fact, it is emboldening us. And we are going to be stronger and more unified with other environmental groups and indigenous groups moving forward. So we're stronger than ever.
Thanks so much to both of you. That does it for our show. If you'd like a transcript of the video audio podcast, go to democracynow.org. Sign up for our news headlines. You can send the word Democracy Now, one word, to 66866. Very happy birthday to Democracy Now!'s Hani Massoud. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gadis-Diener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, Jarena Nadura. I'm Amy Goodman. Go to democracynow.org to see Dolores Huerta's response to DACA. Stay with us.
You're listening to 89.3 FM, WHFR, Dearborn.
You're listening to WHFR, Dearborn.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Welcome to the WHFR Journal, where we discuss happenings in the Dearborn community. The views and opinions expressed on the journal are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. And again, this is WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. Hi, I'm your host, Lynn, and today we're discussing, well, let's just say books and rats. We have Henry Fisher from the Dearborn Library System in the studio with us today. And in a little bit, we'll be speaking with John Davidson from the city of Dearborn. All right. And Henry, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
All kinds of great things happening at the library. And we talked to Patty a couple months ago and talked about all the things happening as summer was approaching. And believe it or not, we're done. Summer's over. And it's time to talk about some
blink
of the great...
Blink of an eye, right?
I know. Some of the great programs happening in the Dearborn Library System for kids, for adults, for everybody. So bring us up to date.
All right, well, we've got a lot going on at the library. I don't know if I'll be able to cover everything, but I would direct people to DearbornLibrary.org, our website, where you can get a full list of events going on and events coming up, or you could call the library at 313-943-2330, or visit us at 1630 Michigan Avenue, Dearborn, 48126. But just a little sampling of some of our programs. We have a big program coming up. It's called The Big Read, where we're going to try to get the whole community reading one book and excited about it. The book we're reading is Jhumpa Lahiri's The Namesake, which deals with a first-generation Indian immigrant family's experiences in America, especially focusing on their son and his name, Gogol, which he's named after a Russian author, and his struggles with his name, trying to fit in and feeling kind of like an outsider. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we all can relate to that.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a kickoff event on Sunday, March 18th, 3 to 5 p.m. in the Michael A. Guido Theater at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, where we're going to have different dance groups representing Dearborn's diversity, and even try to have the dance groups come together at the end, showing different groups coming together. And we're going to have free copies of Jhumpa Lahiri's book, The Namesake, to give out at the event. And we hope to have several events in March and April,
okay,
2018. But right now, we're actually sending out a call for stories from the community, for immigrant stories, or if you have stories about a story about your name, or an immigrant story, whether of the current generation or previous generation.
Okay, and we're talking about any ethnicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also hope to have people send in their family recipes. And
okay,
you can visit our Big Read site. We actually have a separate site for that. It's bigreaddearborn.org. And you can see that the deadline is October 31st. And we're going to try to collect the immigrant stories and publish it as a book. And we hope to publish the family recipes as like a cookbook, or if you have old pictures or or letters. Or so I hope if you have some recipe in your family, send it in, and we can try to get it in the book that way.
Okay, so then the cookbook is available in March?
We would hope to have it ready by then. We'll see how many submissions we get from that, and we would hope to have it ready as soon as possible after
the
deadline. And we have several other programs going on. Our Friends of the Library Dearborn Fold has a book sale just about every month. And they don't have a sale in September. It's usually the first Wednesday of the month from 9:30 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And the next one is October 4th. Just come to that at Henry Ford Centennial Library.
Okay.
And they have a whole bunch of books there for you. And I'll just kind of run through a quick list of some of the other programs going on. We have Classics Revisited, a great books discussion group. We're going to be reading the Federalist Papers in September, which is kind of a hot topic right now with the play and everything with Alexander Hamilton and portraying him almost like a rock star or something,
right,
you know. But
and where do these discussions take place?
They will take place in the Ford Room at Henry Ford Centennial Library, and they're usually on the third Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. And you can check the website, dearbornlibrary.org, for updates on that. Some of my coworkers have great programs coming up. One is a Great Michigan Read Book Club, where they're going to read a graphic novel of Malcolm X. It's called X, and it's part of the Great Michigan Read program.
Okay.
That's going to be on Tuesday, October 24th at 6:30 p.m. They're going to have a professor, Keith Dye, come in, and he's going to talk about the book and have a discussion. And they're actually going to have another program called Detroit 1967, the Origins, Impacts, and Legacies Talk and Book Signing. That's Tuesday, September 19th at 6:30 p.m. at Henry Ford Centennial Library. And then one of my coworkers has a program coming up. He doesn't have a date yet, but keep an eye out on the website. From Detroit Red Wings, a player wrote a book, Ken Daniels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, former. Okay. Let's see. And we've got another program called Uncle Henry's Ford Rouge, which was written by a former worker at the Rouge Steel Plant. And he's going to talk about his experiences there. That's Thursday, September 21st.
Do you know the Rouge Steel Plant has a lot of colorful history to it. What time period was this book addressing?
He was there. It's called Uncle Henry's Ford Rouge, One Man's Perspective, 1965 to 1998.
Wow, okay.
And he's going to be there Thursday, September 21st, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's a free program. All these programs are free and open to the public. There's a book club that some of my coworkers are starting called Books and Breweries, where they're going to meet at some of the local breweries in Dearborn. They're going to meet at Dearborn Brewing.
Yeah.
And Downey. Yeah, and then Downey Brewing, the one in the East End.
Okay.
The first book they're reading is Thursday, September 21st, called Holes by Lewis Sachar. And it's, I think these are kind of like children's teens books, but it's a book group for adults where you kind of revisit these books. It sounds like a lot of fun, you know?
Okay. So what is Holes all about?
That one, let's see. They have a little description of it here. I haven't read it myself, but here, I'll read this. As further evidence of his family's bad fortune, which they attribute to a curse on a distant relative, Stanley Yelnats is sent to a hellish correctional camp in the Texas desert, where he finds his first real friend, a treasure, and a new sense of himself. So, you never know.
Okay.
But, and then our youth services department has a bunch of programs coming up.
Right.
They have come out with a, actually even separate flyer with all the list of programs they have going on here.
All right.
I'll try to do a little sampling of them. They have ages 4 years plus. They have Lego Club.
Okay.
Lego Club meets Wednesday, September 6th and October 4th, 4 to 5:15 p.m. That's at Centennial Library.
Okay. Let me back up just one little step here. When you talk about these kid programs, are the kids going in by themselves, or are they coming in as a group from a school, from a class, or both?
We do have kids come in as groups in schools, but we encourage kids to come in with their parents.
Okay.
And actually, if you're under a certain age, you have to be with like an older sibling or a parent or something. So most of these younger age programs, the children come in with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But they have programs for all ages. Like they have Third Thursday crafts. Like next one is Penny Spinners. That's Thursday, September 21st, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Make and decorate a top using simple materials. Younger children may need adult assistance. Craft available while supplies last.
Okay.
They have a spooky Halloween creation craft.
That's coming up fast,
too. Yeah. Thursday, October 19th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. They just have a bunch of events. I invite people to check the website, dearbornlibrary.org, and click on the page for children and teen. But they have programs for tweens, programs for teens. Let's see. A henna workshop coming up.
Really?
Thursday, September 28th, 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay. For those who don't know, henna is sort of I guess you'd call it a temporary tattoo.
Yeah, right? that's the way I do it. Right. we have some programs coming up at our Bryant Branch Library, too.
Okay. And where is that located?
That's located on Michigan Avenue. That's right next to Buddy's.
Okay.
Next to Buddy's Pizza and let's see.
Michigan and Mason.
Yeah, Michigan and Mason right there. Mm-hmm. They've got a Saturday Stories, ages 2 to 5. Homeschool hangout for homeschoolers and parents. Monster Saturday Stories.
As we get into October.
Yeah. Saturday, October 28th. And they've got a lot of other stuff going on. I hope people check out the flyer.
Okay, and the flyers that you have with you, are those available at Centennial only or all libraries?
They would be available at Centennial and online, too. You could
and online, sure. Okay.
Get it off the website, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that site again?
That's dearbornlibrary.org.
Easy enough, right? Okay. All right, what's happening for seniors? Anything on deck for seniors?
Let's see. All of the programs we have are all ages, and they'd be good for pretty much all ages. And let me see if we have anything specifically for seniors. We do have programs here and there, you know, dealing with Social Security and a lot of our FOLD programs. Have a lot of different subjects that are of interest to all ages.
Okay.
Yeah, so they usually have a program the first Tuesday of the month before the book sale.
Okay.
Like different lectures.
Okay. And these are during the day?
That would be actually at night. I think it's like 6 or 7 p.m.
Okay.
On the first Tuesday of the month, usually.
But
please check the website, because we always have new programs coming out,
right.
A lot of the adult ones are focused on all ages,
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. One of the things I know that's available through the Dearborn Library System is the bags for the book clubs. If you'd like to talk about that a little bit.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's an exciting program that we have going now, mm-hmm. where we've got, I'd say, over 200 kits of book club kits where you can basically start your own book club, you know, and you can check out a kit. It has 10 copies of the book, along with discussion questions and stuff to help you read the book and discuss it. And you can actually, there's a new feature we have called Kit Keeper, where you can reserve a kit online, and then you can just, they set it aside for you, and you can just pick it up.
Yeah.
So you could basically look at the list and reserve kits for your book club throughout the year, and then they would just set them aside, and you just pick them up at the hold desk.
Wow.
And that Kit Keeper is right on our website at dearbornlibrary.org. And it's a... ever since we got that service, usage has even went up for the book club kits. So we're excited about that, and we hope people really take advantage of it because it's all free.
Right. And what sort of books are there?
We have several different, I'd say most of them are fiction. Kind of, they deal with books that you can discuss in a group. And some, there are some nonfiction titles there, too, that you might be interested in. But there's a whole range of titles in there.
Okay.
And you can check out a list of them on our website, or they even list the new titles that they have.
Do the books range in being like bestsellers, new and historic books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They do try to get the popular ones that are really popular with book groups, but they also try to get ones that just would be maybe thought-provoking and encourage discussion, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you mentioned there's a list of questions, too, for the book group, mm-hmm. the book clubs, for the groups.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you looked at the list? Do you have any idea how they delve into the book?
I guess there are different sites you can check out where they actually have questions tailored to that book, to each one, or they might just have general questions too, like if questions aren't available online, sometimes that happens where they haven't been prepared. But most of them are just kind of they're made up to encourage discussion,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get people. Did you like the book? What didn't you know? Why or why not? You know, did you like it or not? Why or not?
Okay.
And what did you like the writer's style?
All right.
Did you like the characters?
And then some of the other ones get more into the plot. Mm-hmm. Sort of questions.
Usually most of them are printed out with specific to the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there are sites like litlovers.com, which you can go to, and it'll give you like a summary of the book, a biography of the author, and then like sample discussion questions for the book. And we usually go there, and one of my coworkers takes care of all the book club kits, and she prints out like the list and puts it in a folder with the kit. So it helps people with their discussion.
And what was that site again to find this background?
Oh, yeah, it's called, the site is litlovers.com.
Okay, L-I-T?
Mm-hmm.
L-O-V-E-R-S.com.
Yes, that's right. And there are other sites too, but I remember that was one that I've looked up discussion questions for before, you know, for book clubs and stuff. But
wow. I'm familiar with at least one book club that uses that service, and they were so happy when it was made available.
Oh, yeah. I know people were excited about that they could finally reserve them, because we had people that were like, yeah, we've got these, we picked out these titles, but we don't know if they're going to be available when we want to read them. Mm-hmm. So we were glad when we got that, so people could make a list of what they wanted to read and then reserve it, so they know that it's going to be there for them when they're ready.
Yeah. One of the other things that's really fantastic about Centennial is there's a beautiful room available too that I know you can rent for concerts and what have you. Could you talk to that a little bit?
Yes, we have different meeting rooms. We have three group study rooms on the third floor, which you can, and we have one on the second floor too.
Okay.
Which the group study rooms on the third floor hold 2 to 8 people, and the one on the second floor holds 2 to 12 people. And you can come in and you can use those as a group, like first come, first serve for free. Or if you'd want to reserve it in advance, they do charge a fee of $10 an hour now.
Hmm. Okay.
For those, but still a lot of people like to do that if they want to make sure that they're going to have the room.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people come in and they just do first come, first serve, which is free. And then if a room's available, it's available. If not, you could sit at one of the tables or around and maybe talk a little quieter,
right.
You know. But and we do have a room that seats 30 people. That's our room 30, which we use a lot for programs when we have speakers come in. But people can also reserve that. I'm not sure exactly the amount because that's through administration.
Okay.
But I would invite people to call the library and or check the website.
Okay.
The website's dearbornlibrary.org, or you could call 313-943-2330. And we have a beautiful auditorium that we use for programmings. It seats over 200 people. And you can also reserve that for events. And to do that, you would call the library or go on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, to reserve that, you'd actually have to call the 313-943-2330.
Right. And I have seen, I've seen plays in there. I've heard concerts in there, recitals, that sort of thing. And it's a nice room.
Yeah, we're so proud to have that at the library. And just to have that library in general, the way that they went all out in building it in the 60s and how they mm-hmm. used just the best materials of the time, I think. And
yeah, beautiful facility.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the front, the fountain is gone, and now we have the, could I call it a war memorial? Is that
yes, appropriate? Yes, we have a great war memorial in the front of the library now, and we invite people to come check that out and to pay respects to the soldiers who had given their lives for our freedom.
Right, right. So again, it's on a day like today, a gorgeous time to go and see that mm-hmm. Beautiful display. Okay, and let's see what else. What else do you want to talk about? There's so much. There's so much going on. I don't know how we pack it in.
Yeah, but there's just so much going on.
And where do we start?
I did want to mention that we do have a service now where people can download. People can download e-books and audiobooks and they can download movies too.
Right. Tell us how to do that.
You can go to our website, dearbornlibrary.org, and we have a section for e-media.
Mm-hmm.
If you just click on the button, it'll take you to our page where you can download audiobooks. If you like to listen to books, I like to listen to books in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cassette player in my car, so I still listen to those too.
Okay.
You know, but you can use it in all different ways. You know, you can download audiobooks, e-books. You can download them to your computer, your tablet, or your phone. Different devices. You can download movies now for free. You can download movies or music, and we also have magazines you can download. You would do that with your library card and PIN number, and it's all free.
Okay.
And we also have all those items in print format, too, or in DVD and CDs. Not necessarily the same items, but we have a whole collection of DVDs, CDs, audiobooks, print books that we invite people to come and check out and use, and it's all free.
Right. And as a user of that service, WHFR listeners in general have heard some of your music, because if I couldn't find the CD here, I did go to the library and get it.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm glad you're using the CD
yep.
collection. We've got a heck of a CD collection there, too. We just started actually working with Melcat, and it's interloaned to different libraries throughout the state. But,
okay.
We haven't really done any marketing on that yet. It's still kind of just beginning, starting
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say too much, but we can see all the CDs from our collection that are, you know,
right.
being used in a sense, you know.
That was, as I said, if I couldn't find a CD here and I was looking for something specific, I could go to the library and get it, but I could check online first
yeah.
and see, first of all, which library had it. and go and pick it up, and it was very, very simple.
Yeah, and that's the wonderful thing. We want people to come and use the items. I know sometimes I see people check out, and they check out a bunch of stuff, and they almost come up and apologize. You know, like, I'm sorry. It's like, no, we want you.
Right.
We want you to use this stuff. Right. I mean, because you use it or you lose it, kind
right.
of. Use the library, and then that shows that it's an important service for
absolutely.
The community.
Absolutely. Know? And the CDs in general are, you have a lot of genres, a lot of artists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of variety there. It's like a music store. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting back to the magazines, you're talking about the magazines. Now, are we talking about only the current issue that's available, or are past issues also available?
Well, we have print magazines that you can come check out. You can't check out the most current issue, but you could look at it in the library.
Okay.
And the older issues, basically, usually come out once a week, and sometimes it's once a month. But mm-hmm. if it's any of the older issues, you can check out those for, I believe it's 1 to 2, 1 or 2 weeks or
okay.
something like that. And
all right.
and the digital magazines, it's called RB Digital, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Zinio before, but they changed their name. Now it's RB Digital.
Okay.
But you can check out those, and those are current issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go online and you download it. And I've done it myself, where you kind of just turn the page, and you can print out like a recipe if it's like a cooking magazine or something,
right,
or
right.
or like a car magazine. You want to, you know, download one of the pictures in there. You can print that out on your computer or something. You
okay,
know?
All right, wow. So lots and lots of opportunity.
Oh yeah, it's just amazing to me how many resources the library has. And I mean, once you start using the resources, there's no going back,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay. So. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I've been a librarian there for, let's see, about 10 years. I was a library page for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, you know, what does that mean?
I started out, that was kind of like a part-time job where I helped out at the circulation desk, or I shelved books and...
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun job. I kind of just applied to the library just as a bunch of places. You know, I applied to a bunch of places along Michigan Avenue. I never thought this big library would call me. You know, I never thought of going into libraries as a career or anything. But they called, and I liked working there. And I actually didn't use the library too much before I worked there. I guess I just didn't realize. I remember my mom would take me to the library mm-hmm. as a kid, but I didn't realize how good of a resource it was, you know, until I started working there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, there's so much free stuff here, and how could you exist without it,
right.
in a sense now.
Right.
But then I ended up going to school for library science, and applied a few times, then finally got a job there, and I was just haven't looked back, you know, and
yeah.
just ride the wave.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So you like it there?
I'm grateful to be working in, at all, in a sense, you know. But I really like this job. You can focus on creative stuff too, and
okay.
it's especially with programs. You can do different book discussion groups, and like with this, the big read, you can get the whole community trying to read a certain book.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel like you're kind of trying to support reading and critical thinking, and I think that's especially important in today's society, where it's you have all these different sources trying to get your interest, you know, and
right.
if you can think critically and be a discerning customer, that I think that will help you out a lot these days, you know.
Right. Right.
So the library is a good place to start.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your story, too.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah. I wanted to get back to some of the, oh gosh, just some of the features of the library itself,
mm-hmm.
the physical library.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you'll walk in and you will see people, of course, a lot of students are still using libraries. There was a rumor a number of years ago that the libraries would all become extinct because everything was available online.
Yeah.
And that's not really true.
No, that hasn't really happened.
And you see a lot of people who are studying, and you see people who are just there reading newspapers. Talk to that as a social venue, if you will.
Yeah, it seems like the library is taking on different roles that are of importance to the community, like meeting space, mm-hmm. having the meeting rooms. And our meeting rooms are very popular. They're full most of the time, I'd say. And just offering these different services. We actually offer a kind of wireless router service where you can get a device where it basically gives you internet.
Okay.
Where you don't have internet. And I just looked online, and we have like 10 devices. There's like 25 holds on them. So it shows that there's this need for that. And I think there's all these different, there's such a wide range of interests. You know, there's the person who comes in, they still want the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And we have that. But another person who comes in and they want the latest, you know, ebook or whatever, and we have that. So I think we have such a wide range of resources that we appeal to the whole community in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something there for everyone.
All right.
No matter where you are on the technical scale, whether you're, you know, you could be a person who doesn't do email or anything, and you could still find something at the library, or you could be a person who's got to get the latest and greatest tech thing, and I think both people could still find something to do at the library and something that's a good time to spend your day.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about the computers?
We have several computers there. We have, I'd say, about 50 computers in the adult section. And a number of computers in the children's section. Then we have computers at Bryant and Esper branches. And those you can download, or no, those you can use for internet searches, and you can type up Word documents, or you can use them for your PowerPoint, or a whole range of Microsoft suite items.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you able to check your email there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we have wireless too in the building, so you could bring in your own device and sign on and use it that way.
Okay.
So it's
amazing.
Yeah.
so much for the extinction of the libraries.
Yeah, it's who knows what'll happen, but it seems like there's still a lot there for just about everyone, I'd say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a bit of a break and listen to some music, and I'll pick up this phone call. Alrighty, and on the line with us, we have John Davidson from the city of Dearborn. And John, you're going to tell us all about rats.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for being part of the journal.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
So I understand we have quite an issue in the city of Dearborn with the rat population.
Well, we've had a couple of different things going on that have helped the rats thrive and survive. We had a mild winter this last year, and we've had a lot of road construction, which kind of stirs them up and takes them out of their homes and habitats and brings them into ours.
Okay. And we can't really do anything about the road construction.
Nope, signs of progress.
Right. Okay, so what can we as homeowners do in the city of Dearborn to keep down the rat population?
Well, the key to dealing with rats is sanitation.
Okay.
We need to keep our yards and our properties clean of anything that's going to attract rats. And you have a food source. Berries or fruit that fall to the ground from trees. Bird feeders, putting food on outside for the animals. Anything like that that's going to be a food source that's going to attract rats, they're going to find.
Okay. What about mulching?
Mulching is not a problem. Composting is not a problem as long as it's maintained.
Okay.
If you don't maintain the compost, then it becomes a place for rats to come hide out in the nest. So if you're actively composting and you're maintaining it and turning it, it's not a problem.
Okay. So food scraps and vegetable scraps, that sort of thing, is safe as long as we're turning the compost.
We prefer people not put those things in, but if you do, as long as you maintain it and turning it, it's not a problem.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And the other thing we see a lot of is rat harborage. People that don't maintain their property, they leave wood on the ground, firewood.
Mm-hmm.
They have things stored outside that rats can get underneath and hide. So we tell everyone to try to keep the yard picked up, keep everything elevated, or in a garage or shed, so it's not something that the rats can come in and inhabit.
Okay. How high off the ground should stored wood stay?
Between 9 and 18 inches is optimal.
So it's acceptable to have a wood pile as long as it's up off the ground 9 to 18 inches?
Right.
Okay.
Right. That way it's not attracting rats as a place to hide. Our rule of thumb really is if you can see the ground underneath it, you're fine.
Okay. All right. And so far as cleanliness go, we have the newer trash carts in Dearborn.
Right.
Are those considered rat safe?
They've really helped a lot with the rat population because it takes a lot of the available food and trash and makes it less accessible. But again, you know, rats are very good at what they do. And if there's anything out there, they're going to find it.
Okay.
So another big factor is cleaning up animal waste in your yard, pet feces. If it's in the yard, it should be cleaned up daily because that also will attract a rat.
Okay. All right. What about animals? So far as pets go, are dogs safe, quote unquote, from rats? Will they leave? I don't really know a lot about rats. So will the rats go after the pets? Do you have to be very careful if you let the dog out at night to do its business? Do you have to be very careful that the dog doesn't stay out too long, or could the dog be harmed?
Generally, rats will only attack an animal like that if they're cornered and can't get away. Generally, a rat was going to try and run and escape as much as possible. They're not looking for confrontation.
Okay.
What is important, though, is making sure your pets, especially dogs, are current on all their vaccinations, especially the lepto vaccination that the veterinarians give dogs, because there's a bacteria in rat urine that a dog can pick up on their paws, and then the dog can be very sick or possibly die from. So those vaccines are very important to have up to date.
Wow, okay. And what vaccine was that again?
It's lepto.
Okay.
The veterinarians know what it is. It's one of the standard vaccines
okay.
for dogs, but it's important that one be kept up to date.
Okay.
Keep your dog safe.
Is that an annual vaccine?
Yes.
Okay, all right. What about, again, some of the places where we have things growing? What about, are any sort of shrubs an issue? A flower bed, a vegetable garden. Is there anything growing that is something that would attract rats?
Again, any food source is going to attract a rat.
Okay.
So we advise residents that if they're having a garden, as soon as things ripen, to get them out.
Okay.
bushes, shrubs, low vegetation. We recommend that everything be trimmed up about 12 inches off the ground to provide a clear line of sight, so it's not, letting a place for rats to hide.
Okay. All right.
Rats don't like to be out in the open. They like to be where they can be concealed and hidden. So if there's no place to hide, they're not going to come there.
Okay. That makes sense. And then with regards to some of the things that rats are looking for, we keep everything up off the ground. But what about something that would repel them naturally? I know when you talk about garden insects and things, soap is a very easy way of controlling insects. What about rats? Is there a natural way that we could look into, if not, not necessarily killing them, but repelling them so that they don't want to be there?
Right. There's not a lot of things that, you can plant that are going to repel rats.
Mm-hmm.
There's a myth, urban legend, that rats are repelled by peppermint. It's not true, but it's one of those internet things.
Okay.
I actually love peppermint.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. And, unfortunately, it's not a good, easy fix. There are natural, organic repellents that you repurchased at like hardware stores.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're all organic, they're natural, and they are very effective at keeping rats and other animals and vermin away.
Okay. What's in those?
There's a different mixture of predator blood, urine, and other thing natural items in there that actually are natural repellents.
Okay. So your cats and dogs wouldn't be harmed by those?
Right. Hey, then okay. There's nothing in there that's actually harmful, but it does act as a natural repellent for rats and other vermin.
Okay, interesting. And you said they like to be hidden. Are they making nests in these places or hiding periodically, or what does a rat's nest look like if we stumble upon one in our yard?
Well, typically rats burrow. They like to go underground. So they will dig holes in the yard, very similar to chipmunk holes, but about three times the size.
Okay.
And they like to be underneath something. So air conditioning units, central air units, they like to get underneath those. Patios, things that don't have a rat wall underneath them, that makes it easy for a rat to get into. So it gives them a sense of security to be underneath something like that.
Okay. And then that's also going to protect them in weather changes, too, I would think.
Exactly right.
Okay. And if we suspect that we have some sort of rat issue in our yard, what should we do?
Well, you can call the city of Dearborn at the vector control line, which is 313-943-2099. And a city technician will come out, do an assessment on the property, and tell you whether or not you do have rats, and then go over various methods or treatment options to help eradicate them.
Okay. All right. And I did see something, I think it was in the press release, that indicated we should not try to poison them ourselves.
Right. Because, one, it's not really the safest method, but most people don't really have an idea of how toxic these poisons can be. And if they're used inappropriately or irresponsibly, or someone doesn't realize what they're doing, you're putting pets and other animals at risk.
Certainly, not to mention groundwater.
Right, and so the city's technicians are all state-certified professionals who are under both the State Department of Agriculture and the Environmental Protection Agency, and they have very stringent laws and rules they have to follow to do this job as safely as possible and not put other animals at risk.
Okay. And if we get back to basics, things like the old Victor traps?
Mm-hmm. Those are effective. I know they're a little bit on the touchy side, but they are effective.
Right.
But again, those are traps. If you're using them, you want to set them out dusk to dawn when rats are active and other animals are not going to be out.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't want to be killing chipmunks and birds and squirrels and the like.
Not to mention our own cats and dogs.
Right.
Who might be interested in tripping it, yeah.
Right. Okay. The most important consideration is safety.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, John, the best number to call for help?
It's 313-943-2099.
Okay. And if we have a wood pile or an air conditioning unit, would you recommend putting some of the non-toxic repellent in those areas?
It won't hurt at all to do that, and it might actually be beneficial.
Okay. All right. So we're looking for any place where the rats can burrow. And how large are the nests? When you talk about a rat nest, how large is that actually?
They typically can go down about 3 feet, and they dig multiple chambers in them. So a rat nest can be quite large.
Wow. Okay. So it's probably these larger ones that are getting disturbed then when you talk about the road construction.
Right.
Okay. Wow. And water, if we have a lot of rain, are they more prevalent at that point?
That definitely can be a problem, because if the natural habitat becomes too inundated with water, they're going to go somewhere else.
Ah, okay. All right. Then I don't mean for this to sound silly, but if we find what we think is a rat's nest and we flood it, would that be a good way to get rid of them?
It can work. It doesn't always work.
Okay.
Because rats, in addition to the main entrance, they will have multiple escapes that are hidden that they can get out of, so they'll just come back once the water level goes back down.
Got it. Okay. They are survivors, aren't they?
They are survivors. They're very smart. They're about as smart as the average dog.
Oh, wow. I heard a story years ago about some sort of communication skills that they had, and they could actually somehow tell other rats where there was a good place to go, where there was, and they were boarding buses and, you know, just kind of looking around for different places to go. And it just absolutely amazed me. It blew my mind.
They absolutely do communicate. If a rat gets into something that makes it sick, within a day, every rat it comes in contact with will know to avoid the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They very effectively communicate with each other, and they do learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them very formidable to try to deal with, because they adapt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they figured out how to, not that they know what the bus route is, of course, but
right.
They figured out how to get in the undercarriage, and they can go someplace and be in a whole different place.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing to me that they wouldn't be afraid to do that, you know, that they figured out that these things move to a new place. So.
Yeah, like I said, they are very intelligent animals for their size, and their abilities are quite astounding.
Okay, so how do we win?
Well, again, we win by denying them the things they need for life, food
okay.
and harborage.
Okay,
if we keep those items away from them, it keeps their numbers down.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's the most effective way. Placing out rodenticides, poisons, is only a stopgap. It only helps a little bit. You really need to eliminate the cause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really the key to any type of rat control program, is to get rid of what the attractant is. Once mm-hmm. you remove the attractant, the rats go away.
All right. Okay, so we're looking to keep the firewood 9 to 18 inches off the ground. We're looking to have any sort of produce harvested as soon as possible. And we're looking to keep shrubs and things trimmed high enough that you can actually see under them.
Right.
Okay. What about the composters that are, oh gosh, they almost look like a bingo wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep, I've seen those many times.
Are those effective?
Those are extremely effective. They're off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They have the crank on the sides to turn them easily.
Right.
Those are very effective ways to keep a compost away from rats and keep it maintained.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a better idea then. And that way you have the benefit of the compost and not the rats. The rats don't get any.
Right.
I'm also aware of some people who have actually taken food scraps and, vegetable matter and actually bury it. Is that effective, or is that just providing them something that's underground?
They'll find it. They have an incredible sense of smell. They're about 40 times more sensitive than a dog when it comes to odors.
Okay.
So if it's there, they will find it.
Okay. All right. A challenge, a big challenge.
Absolutely.
Okay. So keep the yards clean, both front and back. Pick up the animal feces. Keep the compost up off the ground. And we have half a chance that way.
And if you suspect anything that could be possibly rat activity, call the city and we'll come out and let you know for sure.
Okay. What about, you mentioned something earlier about keeping certain things in the garage. Do they not get into the garage, or is there a way they do get into the garage? I know we have the rat walls, we have the deep floors and that sort of thing, but if they get in, then we should call you.
Right. The most common way rats can get in the garage is go through the weather stripping underneath the main door.
Okay.
So that's something you want to keep an eye on and make sure it's in good condition.
Okay.
Because once that weather stripping starts to wear out, it becomes much easier for a rat to get in.
Okay, that makes sense. And obviously try to keep things that are attractive to them either up high or in some sort of sealed container.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, John. This has been disturbing but enlightening.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
And one more time, please, if we could have the telephone number to call should we suspect a rat issue in our own on our own property or our neighbor's property for that matter.
Sure. It's 313-943-2099.
Okay. Thank you so much for being part of Impact. And
you're quite welcome.
Thanks so much. We appreciate the call. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. That was John Davidson from the city of Dearborn talking about our rat issue. And Henry, I don't know about you, but I didn't know we had quite such the issue.
Yeah, I didn't know. But that was a lot of good information of what to do try to stop them from coming to here back here.
Yeah, and keep them out of the library, too.
yeah.
Do you know if you have, he had mentioned some of the natural methods, and what he was talking about with regards to the oppressor animal urine and that, I know that can be a repellent, but there's a lot you can do with oils and different things to
try
to repel.
Yeah,
and I was just wondering if you had books about the holistic way of trying to get rid of these critters.
I know of one. I can't remember the name of it exactly, but it's, I remember it's something like Grandma's Critter Ritter, natural methods for getting rid of pests. But we also probably have books on different essential oils too,
right?
The uses of them.
Right.
So yeah, definitely.
Okay, check out the library.
Check your library out because there's something there. You could find out about that.
Peppermint surprised me because that's menthol, and I thought they would be repelled by it. So if you put out peppermint to get rid of the rats, it's not going to work, and they'll just run around with fresh breath.
Yeah, and I can see almost like the internet search on that where it's saying, do this to get rid of rats, but how he was actually saying they like peppermint. Yeah.
So
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's a strong, it's a strong thing. That's
why
it makes sense to me that would go away. Okay, we just have a few more minutes, and we'll wrap up with you with a couple more not so little things going on in the city. We have the Big Band Gala at the Pavilion, and this is featuring the swinging sounds of the HFC Big Band, directed by Rick Goward, and special guest is Karen Newman. We know Karen Newman from the Red Wings. And this takes place Saturday, September 9th, which, believe it or not, that's like a week away.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So a week from tomorrow. Cocktails at 6, a seated dinner at 7, and this is the Henry Ford College Pavilion. So it's right here, right outside the studio windows, right. And for ticket or sponsor information, call 313-565-2424. And this is a benefit for the Dearborn Symphony, so you can also visit dearbornsymphony.org. No tricky spellings in that. Some of the great things going on, there's a martini bar. I have not had a martini today. A martini bar, wine and soda bar. There's dessert, a multi-course plated dinner at Park Place, and the big band with dance demos.
Wow.
So that sounds like a nice, nice evening. And again, for information or tickets, call 313-565-2424 or visit the dearbornsymphony.org. And we were talking about critters, but these are good critters. This is a good thing. There's a pet adoption coming up Saturday, September 30. We have a couple weeks on that one anyway. This runs from 11 till 2 at St. Paul Lutheran Church's West Lawn. And that's 21915 Beach Street, which is the corner of Beach and Monroe. And there are all kinds of adorable adoptables who are going to be there. The Greyhounds are coming, which is really exciting. And these are retired dogs, retired Greyhounds. And this is one, I don't want to get too political, but this is one area that needs to be gotten rid of, is the dog racing. These dogs are just so abused. It's just so wrong. That's all I can say. It's just so wrong. So these are some of the retirees, and they are incredibly gentle dogs. They are amazing dogs. There are other rescue groups who are on deck, and then we'll have some good information about different types of treats and how to keep your critters healthy. I understand we're going to have some organic dog treats there.
That
should be very nice. And there was one more note. I always leave these things. I do this on Saturdays, too. I always have something on the wrong table. Document shredding. Again, this is September 9th. This is for Dearborn residents, and it's a free document shredding day on Saturday, September 9th from 8 a.m. until noon. And this is at the DPW Yard, 2951 Greenfield, which is just south of Rotunda. This is open to Dearborn residents only. Proof of residency is required. So just a driver's license will work for that. There's a limit per person of 5 office-sized boxes of personal paper documents, maximum weight of 50 pounds. And the documents are shredded on-site. The residents are able to watch their documents get shredded. And initially, that sounds like, wow, I get to see shredding happen. But think about it. These are your doctor statements. These are your tax returns.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that these things are shredded and out of the way. So for more information about that, I have a number. That's 313-943-2433. And all kinds of great things that can happen when that happens.
Right.
I found that shreds make great mulch, too. So it's great in your yards. And I don't think the rats like those.
Yeah.
All righty. We're about ready to wrap up this edition of the Journal. And Henry, tell us a little bit more about the library. Any final things? What's the next exciting thing that's coming up at the library?
Let's see. Next thing is, one exciting thing is this Uncle Henry's Ford Rouge program going on Thursday, September 21st from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Centennial Library, where a former millwright from Ford Motor Company, Rouge Steel, is going to talk about his experiences in the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that book club, the Books and Breweries.
Yeah.
Where they're going to meet at, let's see, Thursday, September 21st. Oh,
okay.
Another program going on.
That's coming soon.
7 to 8:30 p.m. at Downey Brewing Company. Holes by Lewis Sacker. Yeah, that's coming up, and that'll be at Downey Brewing in the east side of Dearborn. But I encourage people to check the website, dearbornlibrary.org, for a whole list of programs going on, or if you want to give us a call at 313-943-2330, and we'll give you an update on all the different programs and happenings at the library.
Very good. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it was great learning all the things that are going on at the library. And there's lots of stuff, and it's not old stuff, it's new stuff.
Right.
The computers. Hey, rent a room and have a performance. You can have a little recital.
Yeah.
This is the WHFR Journal. Thanks so much to Henry Fisher and John Davidson for joining me today. And thank you all for listening in to the Journal, where we discuss the happenings in the Dearborn community. Views and opinions expressed on the WHFR Journal are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. And this is WHFR Dearborn. Stay tuned for Highway 61.
You are listening to 89.3, the station making waves at WHFR.FM. Clarksdale, south of Memphis, Tennessee.